الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا وحبيبنا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ومن يتق الله يجعل له مخرجا ويرزقه من حيث لا يحتسب. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: التاجر الصدوق الأمين مع النبيين والصديقين والشهداء، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الحبيب الكريم، ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاكرين والشاهدين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. Respected elders and brothers, many a time in our life we will hear of this term baraka or barkat, and you will hear that, Ya Allah, grant me barkat in my life, grant me barkat in my business, grant me barkat in my sustenance. In whatever it may be, we will ask for barkat. But in reality, what is barkat? We hear this term and it's loosely translated as blessings. But what exactly is this baraka or barkat? So barkat can be defined as blessings from the unseen, which allows a person to do more with less. Blessings from the unseen, which allows a person to do more with less. And there are various different examples of barakat. Just to make us understand this concept, you get barakat in a person's life. Look at the life of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he attained nubuwat. He was blessed with nubuwat at the age of 40. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away at the age of 63. In 23 short years, so much Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had achieved, that till the day of Qiyamah, this deen of Islam was established. So this is an example of barakat in time, barakat in a person's life. Similarly, you will find in the time of the Sahaba radiallahu anh, during the battle of Khaybar, of Khandaq, the battle of the trench, a Sahabi invites Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam along with 10 Sahaba. However, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam makes an announcement that the whole army should come and partake of the meals, and that one pot suffice for the entire army. Again, this is an example of barakat. Less, but how much can be achieved? So what I would like to speak about today is, how do we bring this barakat, this blessings, into our business life? It's not about just turning the digits. You'll find a person is earning hundreds of thousands of rand a month, at times in millions of rand, yet he is finding it difficult to come out. He's under extreme stress. He cannot maintain his lifestyle because of a lack of barakat. So the importance of bringing this barakat into our business lives. So the first aspect with regard to bringing this barakat into our business life is that when we go out in our occupation, then our niyat has to be correct. Our niyat has to be correct. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam in one hadith has mentioned, "Man talaba ad-dunya halalan istighfafan 'anil mas'ala," that person who goes out with the intention of earning halal, with the intention of saving himself from stretching his hand towards anyone, with the intention of providing for his family, looking after his neighbor, seeing to the needs of Islam, then that person, from the time he leaves home till the time he returns again, it is as though he is in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the niyat is correct. The niyat is not that I want to drive a certain car, or I want to live a certain lifestyle so that I can move in the elite circles, I can impress those around me, so that I can be proud. If that is the niyat, then unfortunately you are not in the path of Allah, you're in the path of shaitan. So this is the first important aspect to bring this barakat into our business lives, is that our niyat when we go out every day should be for the sake of Allah, that you want to provide for your family and you want to use that for the upliftment of deen. So that is the first thing. Then the second aspect is that whatever business we are involved in, number one, the product must be completely halal. There must be no doubt in it. It must not be something which is impermissible. For example, alcohol or pork or something which is haram. That must not be the item which is being purchased or the item which is being sold. And together with that, we must learn all the masla masail, the rules and regulations pertaining to that business in which we are involved. In fact, during the time of Umar radiallahu anhu, before a person would go out into the market to trade, they would first have to learn all the rules and regulations of business according to the Sharia before they can go out to trade. Because what can happen is, due to ignorance, a person can be involved in certain transactions which are totally against the Sharia. So that's the second important thing. And the third important thing with regards to the rules and regulations of Sharia is that a person must not be involved in interest or riba of any type. In the Quran Majid, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَمْحَقُ اللَّهُ الرِّبَى وَيُرْبِي الصَّدَقَاتِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will wipe out interest. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will destroy interest. Meaning that person who gets involved in interest, definitely he will taste poverty before he dies. Ulama explain a nice example that a person who is involved in interest and is turning the digits, then it is as though he is an obese person. Meaning he's a person who thinks, I'm getting nice and healthy, my bank balance is increasing. But in actual fact, he is most unhealthy. In actual fact, he is most unhealthy. So this is that importance of staying away from riba and interest. And unfortunately, we live in such a society where it is considered to be normal. But as Muslims, if we put our foot down, we stay away from it, you will see the barakat Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless you with. And interest is such a thing that it does not only affect you, it will also affect your generations to come. Because you are putting that haram money into their systems as well. So this is the second aspect with regards to bringing barakat into our business, that the item must be fully Sharia compliant. We must know the rules and regulations of that business transaction in which we are involved in. And number three, we stay away from interest. So this is the second aspect with regards to bringing barakat into our business. The third aspect, and this is like a topic on its own, is the importance of honesty and truthfulness. In one hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explains that when two transacting parties come together, فَإِن صَدَقَ وَبَيَّنَا, if they are truthful and they are clear in the transaction, meaning if there's any defects in the product, etc., then there's no ambiguity. They are clear in it. They reveal all the faults. The payment time, etc., is stipulated. They abide by it. There is total honesty in the transaction. Then what Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam promises such a person? بُورِكَ لَهُمَا فِي بَيْعِهِمَا. Then there will be barakat in that transaction. There will be this divine blessing in that transaction. And on the other hand, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, وَإِن كَذَبَا وَكَتَمَا. However, if there are lies involved, وَكَتَمَا, there is some form of deception involved, concealing some type of fault, etc. فَعَسَىٰ أَيْ يَرْحَبَىٰ رِبْحًا. Then perhaps you will earn a profit. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, yes, perhaps you will earn a profit. وَيَمْحَقَىٰ بَرَكَةَ بَيْعِهِمَا. But you have wiped out the barakat from that transaction. There will be no barakat in that transaction. Then you find a person is asking, why can I not come out end of the month? Why are there so many difficulties in my life? Why is my child going off, etc.? Because you are involved in such business transactions in which the barakat has been taken out, and then you are feeding your family with that same money. So the importance of honesty, Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah, he was a cloth merchant, together with being a great faqih in deen, that we, so many of us follow him. You say you follow the Hanafi madhab. He was an imam of his time. Together with that, he was also a cloth merchant. So he had a partner in business. While he was tending to his dini affairs, then his partner would be transacting, etc. So on one occasion, he had purchased some cloth. And in that cloth, there was some defect. In that cloth, there was some defect. Those who are cloth merchants will understand how cloths are purchased in big rolls, etc. So it's difficult to pick up a defect. But he was aware of that defect when he had purchased the item. He informed his partner that when you are selling this item, ensure that you tell the customer of this defect. A while later, Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah returns and he asks his partner that you sold that cloth. Did you reveal the defect to the customer? He says, no, I completely forgot to reveal the defect. And now there is no way in which we can trace this customer. Now look at the response of Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayh. He does not only take the capital amount, but the profit as well, equivalent to 30,000 dirhams. And he gives the entire thing in sadaqah. He says, I do not want to have even one dirham of doubtful income mixed with my income. This was the level of caution they had adopted. And then you see how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala honors them. That you and I today will say, Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayh, that we follow his madhab. But this is that honesty, that level of honesty which they had. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in one hadith, has promised the honest trader, if we all want to be with the Anbiya alayhi salatu wa salam in the next world, with the Siddiqeen, the likes of Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu an, the Shuhada, those who have given their lives in the path of Allah, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, At-tajiru as-saduqul amin. The honest, truthful trader, ma'an nabiyyin was-siddiqeen was-shuhada. He will be with the Anbiya alayhi salatu wa salam. He will be with the truthful ones, the likes of Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu an. And he will be with the martyrs. Just through having this high level of honesty and trustworthiness. One of the great qualities of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was known as Al-Amin As-Sadiq. The honest one, the truthful one. And unfortunately, these qualities are leaving the ummah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, a time will come when people will say, in a certain town, in a certain village, there is an honest person over there. Because of the abundance of lies. So remember, brothers, the importance of this honesty. At times, yes, you might not make enough money on that transaction, but you are honest in that transaction. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless you with barakat in that transaction. So that was the third important point, to bring barakat into our business. The fourth important point is that when we are trading, we are easy going when trading. Nowadays you will say, people say, look at that businessman, he's extremely shrewd, or he's very hard in business. He's very, very sharp. That's not supposed to be something which is praiseworthy. Being shrewd, being hard, hard-hearted, that you're hard in business. Rather, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has made dua for that person who is easygoing when he is trading. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, Rahim Allahu rajulan, may Allah's mercy, who is making the dua? Rahmatul lil alameen, the greatest of Allah's creation. He is making dua for that person. Rahim Allahu rajulan, that may Allah's mercy be on such a man. Samhan idha ba'a, wa idha ishtara, wa idha iqtada, who is easygoing when he's selling. He is easygoing when he's purchasing. And he is easygoing when he's reclaiming his loan. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not make dua for the hard businessman. Rather, he made dua for the person who is easygoing. How many a time we find a carpenter comes home to do some work, and a person has the money to pay him, yet he'll squeeze him. He knows that person is puzzling, he's battling, but he'll squeeze him. Not only that, he will delay in his payment. How sad. About a year back, I spoke to one person, tradesman, and he's telling me, I'll never do business, I will never do work for a certain businessman. So I asked him why. He says, up to now he owes me so much, he's never paid me. And now that person knows it's very hard for him to reclaim it. This is not the way of a Muslim businessman. How many a time we find that when it comes to payment, then we are so guilty of this, that we stretch for payment. So to say, you are making your money with other people's money. You are making money with your supplier's money. Because you are pulling for payment. This is all against the dictates of Sharia. This is all the things which will take out the barakat from our transaction, our business lives. So easy going when trading. Then, the next important point is charity and sadaqah. That we give charity. We give sadaqah in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَيُرْبِ الصَّدَقَاتِ. He will multiply charity. Not only that, charity is also a way to avert calamities befalling a person. That you are giving sadaqah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would hold a calamity. Or you will divert that calamity away from you. So the importance of giving charity, sadaqah, we all know what is going on in Gaza. How important that we must contribute towards these causes. At least we can say that we've given sadaqah towards them. We've made dua for them. So the importance of charity. And on this point of charity also, sometimes we mix things up. You will find a person, he's giving abundant sadaqah and charity. He is sponsoring for this masjid, and he is doing such good work, giving millions in the path of Allah. But his own staff members are zakatable. He doesn't pay his staff properly. But then he's given so much of sadaqah. We all know the famous saying, charity begins at home. So pay your staff well as well. Take their du'as. How good it will be after you've left this world, that staff member makes du'a for you. That my boss was such a good person. He looked after me so well. There was, a couple years back, there was a person who had a heart attack at his factory. He had a heart attack at his factory. And now, he needed to be rushed to hospital. So the driver who was at work, the staff members are telling the driver, you need to rush your boss to hospital. He's just had a heart attack. Things are critical. He says, no, I'll see him die over here. Because of the way he treated me, now I'll get my payback. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. So one is the importance of charity, and together with that we treat our staff members well. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will certainly put barakat into our business. Then, the next important point is taqwa, having the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this entails not breaking the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala due to our business life. One is the importance of salah. It must not be such that salah time comes and goes, yet we continuously trade. We do not close our shops during salah time. We do not leave to go to the masjid and perform our salah. Yes, you will earn money in that time. But will there be that amount of barakat in the transaction? So the importance of upholding the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our business life as well. Many a time we come across this, and this could be due to ignorance also when it comes to Diwali, Christmas, etc. Then we find Muslim businesses are advertising for it. Merry Christmas, Happy Diwali, etc. This is not permissible in Sharia. You are not allowed to honor the holy days of another religion. So the importance of this, as I say, it could be due to ignorance. But the importance of learning this, that you are not allowed to have such slogans, etc. in your business. So these all fall under this aspect of taqwa, that you have the consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that my Allah is watching me. What will please Him and what will displease Him? And lastly, to bring this barakat into our lives and bring this barakat into our business lives is our akhlaq and our character. Remember, the non-Muslims does not see the salah we are performing. He does not know when we are fasting. He does not even know when we discharge zakah, because zakah is given to Muslims only. But character he certainly sees. You and I live in a predominantly non-Muslim country. We are interacting with them on a daily basis. How is our akhlaq when we are interacting with them? Will it be a means of attracting them to Islam? Or will it be a means of turning them away from Islam? If you look at the Southeast Asia, Indonesia, Malaysia, those countries are predominantly Muslim. And if you look up the history, you will find how their forefathers had accepted Islam. It was because of honest businessmen who had moved over to those lands. And those businessmen traded with total honesty, number one. And number two, they never interfered with the local women folk. Meaning they controlled their eyes. They did business having the consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it that that whole region became Muslim. That whole region became Muslim. So just to summarize, how do we bring this barakat into our business life? Number one, our niyat must be correct. Number two, what we are transacting in, the rules and regulations must be totally above board, totally according to the Sharia. Number three, there must be honesty when we are trading. Number four, we are easy going. We are not too hard and harsh when we are trading. Number five, we have taqwa. We have the consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And number six, we show good character when we are trading. Just in conclusion, there shouldn't be a week that goes by where we do not mention the plight of our Muslim brothers who are suffering in Gaza. And we all know the difficulties they are undergoing, the hardships. Let us not forget their suffering. Let it be that daily we take our time to make dua for them. Daily we do certain amal with this niyat that, Ya Allah, you help our fellow Muslim brothers and sisters. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has explained in one hadith that the ummah is like one body. When one part of the body feels pain, the entire body feels pain. So similarly, when they are undergoing the suffering, it should not be that we just live our lives carefree without concern for them. Very, very important. So daily we should take out dua for our Palestinians, we should take our time to make dua for them. Together with that, whatever financial contribution we can give, we should give. And the important thing is, we turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and rectify our lives. Inshallah, that will be a means of turning away this oppression which is on our fellow Muslim brothers and sisters. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.